Welcome to part one of a brand new series, It Is Written, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a moment. But first of all, just want to take this moment right here to welcome all those that just are joining us right now online. Come on, everybody, give it up to those who all are worshiping with us online today. So glad to have you along for the ride. And a lot of people are connecting more and more with that. Some are live, and some just check it out after it's been recorded and posted. But so glad to have you with us. And I'm believing that God has a word in season that he's going to give us today, and really excited about it. Also, let me just right here give a shout out to all of our small group leaders and our small group participants. We launched last week our showcase of our small groups, and it is off with fireworks. Aren't you excited about small groups, anybody? Come on, give a whoop whoop or something there, right? All right. So it's just really, really great. Sent a couple of those last week, and I am charged up about it. And hats off to Pastor Steve as he has been leading us just phenomenally in launching our small groups. And if you want to know more about that, you can check that out online at our small group directory. And we just started this week, just our first weekend, so this is a great time to jump in. Come on, the water's fine. Jump on in, right? So we're just having a great time just connecting. We believe around here that life change happens in the context of relationships. Everybody got that line memorized? And because that's just important. That's who we are. We're not just a church with small groups. We're a church of small groups. So I want to encourage you in that. Just seen some phenomenal leadership as people are stepping up. And if we don't have a small group that you like, start one. And Pastor Steve will show you how. Connect with him after service, and he'll get you through a training and get you started in launching your small group. It's easy to do. If you can press play on a DVD, come on, you can lead a small group. And so it's not that complicated. I want to just say right up front here, as we've started this New Year's off and we started in this series, I have decided, we believe here at Crosspoint that we're not just here to plant another or build another church, but we're actually encouraged to lead you on a spiritual journey, knowing that you and I are a spiritual being. We just are we're a spiritual being that happens to be in a body, right? Because we're going to live forever. And so we want to encourage you in that journey. And one of the things we try to get you to do is just go all in. And that is, give us a year. Give us a year to run through this journey of a year with you, and go all in. Do everything there is to do. Get in small groups. Do the growth track. We'll tell you about a little bit more about that as we go forward. But just a lot of things around here that we do, just go all in. And I'm telling you, when you focus on the spiritual, it will be the best year of your life, because we are spiritual beings. And so we encourage you to do that. C.S. Lewis, a quote from C.S. Lewis, he said this. He said, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Right? So we focus on that, those things that are eternal. That's actually been really close to my heart lately, and that is that we need to be focused on those things that are eternal. And it will make the temporary make a lot more sense when you focus on the eternal. So around here, we're not just focused about on the kingdoms of this world. We're focused on the kingdom of heaven on this earth and seeing what God is doing here in amazing ways. And we're concerned and interested in making an eternal difference in people's lives. So in focusing on the spiritual, last month we talked about I have decided, and some of the main decisions that we need to make, important, crucial decisions that we need to make. I encourage you can go online. If you missed any of that, check that out online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can download the message there, also the message notes, and follow along with that. I think that will really bless you. Along with that, we did 21 days of prayer and fasting, just concluded that last week. So we focused on last month also on prayer. This month, I want to focus on something else that's very, very important that you need to make a decision about, and that is the importance of God's Word in your life. We're going to talk about God's Word for the next 4 weeks, and I believe it's one of the best decisions that we can make, is that decision that we're going to read God's Word. You see, prayer is when we talk to God, but reading the Bible is when God is talking to us. You like that? So it's extremely important we understand and hear from God. I heard one pastor say, when you can't hear God, you know, I can't hear his voice. When you can't hear God, read God, right? Read his word. And so I would say if you can only do one of those, praying or reading, I mean, I know my hope is that you would do both. But I want to tell you, there's nothing more important than the decision to get in God's Word. It will change your life. So I want to jump right into the notes. Those message notes are there in your worship guide. We'll also have them up here on the screen for you. I want you to follow along. So if you're taking notes, be sure and take notes. And if you're not taking notes, take notes. All right. So John chapter 1, let's jump right in here at this first verse. It says this: in the beginning was the Word. Word always was, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isn't that interesting? So he's saying that the Word actually is God. So when we look at the Word of God, it's saying the Word is God. That's how important this book is. So he says, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So it's extremely important we understand that who he is. It goes on to say, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So this Word is powerful. It comes, it brings life, it brings light, it illuminates things before us. And then this is not in your notes, but let me give you this verse. It's the 14th verse of that chapter where it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So for some people, they say, well, I don't understand the Word. It's complicated. There's a lot to that I just really don't understand. And a lot about God I don't understand. So God said, well, here's what we'll do to fix that problem. I'm going to step into mankind. I'm going to take on the form of human flesh. I'm going to become one of them. He's 100% God, but he's also 100% man. He came incarnate, took on the form of man, humbled himself so that he could live this thing out, walk it out, be an example to us, be light for us. Not only that, to lay down his life so that we could have life. Amen. And so Jesus came to dwell among us. And so while he was here, though, Jesus made some claims about the Word and what it will do in your life. So we're going to study some of those today. My goal for the next 4 weeks is that you'll learn to love God's Word, and that we're going to learn more. We're going to know it better, and that we're going to live it out. Not only just know God's Word, but we're going to live it out. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, we assume that understand a lot about the Bible, and that's not necessarily the case. I heard about one lady. Throw that last verse up there, if you would, for me, Theron. There was a lady who came to a pastor after a service, and she was really excited and new to this whole thing, and she said, you know, I really like that. I like the way you put the verse, the Bible up there on the screens, and this is pretty cool. This is nice. And she said, but what's this thing down here in the bottom with somebody's name and the numbers beside it? What does that mean? And he's like, really? You know, it kind of excited him, because we want to be able to track people that are unchurched. We want to be able to track people that are not connected to God and that are new to this thing. In fact, that's like me in a candy shop. When I find somebody that's just all new and green, I mean, I just love it. So anyway, she was saying, what's that all about? And he tried to explain to her that, you know, there are books in the Bible, and some of them have names. This one is of one of the disciples, John. And she said, okay, but what's those numbers, and what's that dot, dot thing? And he said, oh, the dot, dot. And she's talking about the colon there, but she called it the dot, dot. He said, well, the dot, dot is that, you know, the Bible just kind of written, but then there were some men that came, you know, people came along and said, well, let's organize this thing, and we'll have chapters, and that's that first number, and then there's the dot, dot, and then there's the verse so that we can find things easy. And she said, oh, that is great. She said, did you come up with that? He said, well, yeah, actually, I did. But no. That's something that's been there for a long time. But I just think that's what our goal and our desire is, that we can explain the Word of God and break that down. So we're going to do that through this series. And I believe this, that the Bible is alive. I hope that it will come alive for you. And I want you to look at the claim that Jesus made about the Word in John chapter 6 and verse 63, where he says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. And then look at what he says. He says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. So he's saying, this is not just an ordinary word. This isn't just a normal word like you read in any other book. But no, these are different. He says that his words that he's spoken are spirit, and they are life. Now, that word spirit in the Greek is the word pneuma. Now, really, we didn't in the English language have a good translation for this word. So it's kind of a made-up word sort that we had to put something there because there's really not a good word for it. Some of the words in the Greek and in the Hebrew are almost pictorial that takes a paragraph to explain them. And really trying to understand the gravity of what this is, there was really no word to describe that. But what this word represents is the breath of God. It really means, the pneuma means the breath of God. And so what it was saying is there is a, not just the word, but there is a power that comes forth with God's word. So when he speaks, there's a power that comes along with the word. And so the closest word really is breath, or breath of God. And so understand this. I'm sorry to be so excited, but this is exciting stuff. It is the breath of God that comes along with his word for the fulfillment of what he just said. So there's a word that he sends out, and there is a power that comes alongside that word so that the very thing that he spoke can be fulfilled inside of you, which makes this book come alive. Amen. I amen myself. I deserve a better amen right there. All right. So there is power within God's word. He doesn't just speak his word and it's a list of do's and don'ts and therefore it's up to you, go do it. No, there's a spirit behind God's word, in God's word, that fulfills. It's like God, when he made everything, he spoke and the worlds into existence. There was something that happened. God's word is powerful. He said, I'll send my word like rain from heaven. It will not return to me void, but will accomplish that I sent it to accomplish. There is power in God's word. So we just want to understand that the Bible is alive. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says this, for the word of God is living and active. It is living. It is alive. And then it goes on to say that it's sharper than a double-edged sword, and it penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now leave that there for just a moment. What he's saying here is this word, this Bible, is not just a historical book or an assimilation of writings. It is the word of God that's alive and acting. It also is a sharp two-edged sword, so it has the ability to do surgery, has an ability to come and get inside of you and do a surgery and do an amazing healing in your life. This book goes and it divides it, your thoughts and attitudes. So this Bible, this word, it has the power to get up inside of you and fulfill its purpose in you, to get inside of you and change things from the inside out. So it's not just about getting information, you're getting power with the information. It's exciting, isn't it? The word of God is powerful. And I think sometimes we underestimate the value of God's word in our lives. And so my challenge to you is that you'll get excited about God's word. You know, excited as I'm acting right now. Come on, get excited about God's word and let it become alive in your life. The tragedy is that many people see the Bible as difficult to understand and it's just mundane and I just don't get into that. And you know, you find a lot of people that's read a lot of books, but some of the same people that are book readers haven't read through the Bible because it's just tough. It's just mundane. And so I want to help you with that and change that in two ways. I want to talk this morning about, from a theological standpoint, of how the Bible can come alive. So I'm going to get a little bit of teaching here up front. And then we're going to get into some practical steps so that you can leave here and you can go do it. So, again, look at your notes. In order for the Bible to come alive, it's faith that does it. Faith activates the Word of God. You can't just read it like an academic document, a scholarly document, but it takes faith in order to activate the Word. There's got to be a point in your life where you have this belief, and belief, this faith, it's a supernatural attitude of believing in God and what you read that actually starts activating the thing in your life. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them. In other words, they heard the word, but it just wasn't working. It had no effect in their life. It was just laying there. It was a word. Okay, that's a good word. And I think a lot of times we come to church, well, that's a good word. But it had no value to them. Look at what happened. Because those who heard did not combine it with faith. They didn't combine it with faith. So it takes faith to activate that. You got to mix faith in that, and then it turns the natural into the supernatural. And right there, I've probably already frustrated some of you because you're saying, that's my problem. I just don't have much faith. Well, that leads us to the next thing. And so faith activates the word. Well, revelation activates faith. We need revelation to activate faith. Activate faith. So if you want your faith to come alive of what you're reading, you actually have to have this revelation to believe that this thing is going to happen. In other words, there has to be an aha moment where you say, oh my goodness. Now, all of us have probably had those before. You read a scripture, you read it many times, but all of a sudden you read it again. Oh my goodness. That's powerful. And God just spoke to me through that. And this thing has come alive. You say, oh my goodness, this thing is real. So revelation, there's two words for the word. You like that? There's two words for the word in the Greek language. And one of those words is logos. This is not your notes, but write this down. Logos or logos, however you want to say that. It's a written word. In this case, it would be a spoken word. So that some of you may come in here today and say, oh my goodness, wasn't that an amazing word? Wasn't that message great? Man, I am charged up, fired up. God's doing something in my life. And others are going, well, whatever. What's for lunch? Roast beef. Let's go home. Let's go home and have stewed preacher. Let's just go. And so logos is this word that's just general, where it's a written word or a spoken word. But there's another word that you need, and that's what makes it exciting, where it changes your life, and it's the rhema word of God. The rhema word, or the revealed. And that's when you say, oh my goodness, I never saw it before. I got it here, but now it's here, and it's alive in my life, and it's changing my life. There's a story of this that illustrates this in actually the Christmas story. Many of you know the story of the angel who came to visit Mary and revealed to her God's plan, that here she was, a teenage girl that was going to be pregnant with God. Ain't that a message? You're going to give birth to the Son of God. And so her first question was, how can this be? How can this be? So she's hearing the Logos word. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but this is not making sense. And so that's what happens oftentimes when we pick up a word. Well, I read that, but that just does not make sense to me. I don't get it. How? Which is a good question. How could this possibly happen? She said, since I'm a virgin, how can it happen? And look what the answer is. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he says this, for no word from God will ever fail. Now, here she was in this moment of, I don't understand this, but suddenly there was something else that transpired there. And the Spirit began to reveal to her the power of God's word. That word right there is translated, that word I was saying, of revelation. Revelation. So there was a revelation where Mary said, okay, I'm not getting this, but now suddenly I get that this thing is about to really happen inside of me. There was a moment her faith was activated through the revelation of God speaking to her. And most scholars say it was in that moment that Mary got pregnant. I don't know how, when and where, but I'm telling you, I believe it's when yes, God. And so look at what her response to that is. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So there's a word that comes to us, and when we have the revelation of God, it changes everything. Which brings us to another question, and that is, how do I get revelation then? Let me give you this word, and the word is meditation. Meditation activates revelation. Y'all like this? Getting anything out of this? Meditation. So sometimes at first pass, we may not get it, but it takes time to read it, to ponder it, to meditate on it, to think it through, to talk it over with others. That's why I encourage you, get in small groups and talk it over. You're going to grow. Get into a service on Sunday. Get in, follow the series through, for a year. It's going to help you. So meditation, taking time to meditate on something. Look at what Joshua 1 and verses 7 and 8 says. He says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." Now look at verse 8 there in your notes and here on the screen. "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." And there's that word, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So the words meditate. Now that word meditate, really, that word actually could be, there is actually ruminate. So that's kind of a little deep. Let me put it this way. We're from North Carolina, right? Y'all, maybe y'all didn't have experience with this, but we got cows around here. You know what cows do? Cows get down and they get some grass. They pull up some grass and they start chewing on the grass. They're in no hurry. They chew on the grass and they chew on the grass. And after they chew on the grass and they get some nutrients out of that grass, they swallow it. You know what they do after they swallow it? There's a word for it. I won't use it here in church, but they bring it back up, all right? They bring it back up. And there it is. And they chew on it some more. And y'all haven't eaten yet, and that's a good thing, right? And so they chew it some more, and they get all the nutrients out of it, get some more nutrients out of it, and chew it some more. You know what they do next? They swallow it. And then they bring it back up again, and they chew on it again. And my wife's now covering her face. I can see her in my peripheral here. And that's the word. I don't know, y'all don't like that, do you? But that's the word. That's the word. Take the word and chew on it and meditate on it and spend time on it and let God begin to speak to you through that. We need to, and then look what happens. It says, then you're going to have success when this happens. Then you'll be prosperous and successful when we do that. So we need to look how we can get this book into our lives. And so for the next two Sundays, I'm going to talk about how we do that. And then I got a great conclusion on the last installment of this message. But a life built on God's Word. I want to give you the theme verse for today's message to get the Bible in our lives more. Now, this version is not a translation that I'm about to give you. It's actually a paraphrase. So it's taking the translation and re-saying it in a way that we understand. So it's from The Message. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. This paraphrase puts it this way. "The words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life." So it's not just, oh, take it, leave it, whatever. That's a nice thought for the day. That's just good, whatever. It says, not that way, like a homeowner improvement kind of thing to your standard of living. They are foundational words. Words to build a life on. So these are crucial. This is the foundation of your life, is God's Word. It's how you're going to make decisions, what you're going to do, where you're going to go, what you're going to do, right? It's foundational. If you work these words into your life, and that's what we're going to spend the next few weeks doing, work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house upon the solid rock. So you're going to have a strong foundation. You're going to build upon it goes on to say, and when the storms come, you'll still be standing. By the way, storms are coming. Wish I could stop that, but it's called living on planet Earth. Storms are coming. Say, can you be more positive? I'm positive. I promise you, storms are coming. They're going to hit every one of us. They're going to hit every marriage. They're going to hit every home. They're going to hit your family. But when you base your life upon God's Word, I'm telling you, you will be standing at the end of it all. And if you don't, I've seen it time and time again, the enemy will destroy and scatter and devastation everywhere. But when you build your life upon Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, He's faithful to His Word to perform it in your life. been there, proved it already in my own life. He's true. He's faithful. Amen. Amen. And I know you're clapping because you testify to the same in your life. So my job is to point you to the Word so that you'll be able to be standing at the end of it all. And let me give you a point here that I think is really going to help you in some practicals, okay? Let me give you some practical stuff. Number one is I must accept its authority. I must accept its authority. It begins with your attitude, how you're going to view it. Is this just a good book with a lot of good ideas from a man? Or is it the inerrant, infallible, perfect Word of God? And when you accept it at that level, things change in your life. You say, well, I can't go there because there's some things that I just don't understand about that. There's some things that confuse me and some things that I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me, a lot of this. Well, you know what? That's what this journey is really all about, is us growing and understanding more and more, and we're trusting God. I don't understand digestion, but I still eat, okay? There's a lot of things you don't understand. And if we could understand everything about God, if God could fit in here, you wouldn't want to serve the God that could fit in this little brain. I'm just saying. That's why He's God, and I'm not. So there's a lot of things that we don't understand because we'll never understand fully all of God. He's God. That's who He is. If you could understand it all, it wouldn't be God, and it wouldn't be His Word. But it's beyond that. It's supreme. And there has to be this place where we trust God, where I can say, God, there's some things that I don't understand. I'm right here, and you're here, you're saying this. But then you have to make the decision, am I going to go with what I understand and what I know, or am I going to trust Him? And I'm going to give you some good advice. Forget what you know and what you can understand and trust God, because God is supreme, and His Word is the Word that should have authority in our life. So we don't live our life based on emotions. We don't base our life built on what culture is saying. We don't build our life on what society or pressure or problems or anything else is shouting at us. We live our life based on, it is written, Lord, I'm going to follow Your Word. Amen? And so it's going to change your life. In 2017, this is a challenge. We have a culture that is challenging God's Word, but it's really not new, because it was challenged from the very beginning of the creation of man in the garden. And if you notice, it was the tempter who came and said, oh, well, God didn't really mean that. And we've had problems ever since. And when you began to question God's Word, and I'm not talking about we all have questions. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying when we decide, no, I just don't believe that, then we're in trouble. But when we take God at His Word, listen, He'll watch over His Word to perform it in your life. Can I get a good amen? Get a good amen right there. And so we must come to this place where we understand God's Word is supreme. Again, let me just park right there for a minute. That's a challenge in our society right now. You know, I had someone some while back that met with me and my wife about an issue of our day. And I realized right quickly the issue was not the issue. The issue was what God's Word said about that, and could I really trust that? And I would point out to you that probably all the issues of our day come down to that. Not probably, it does. Because God's the issue. And when we settle what He said in our heart and decide we're going to follow God's Word, not all the shifting sand, but on, right, Christ the solid rock, the Word, we stand, then we'll still be standing. And so the tempter's always coming in our society. Now, that's a challenge. So I just want to say, at Cross Point, we believe God's Word. We believe it's, in fact, they say there's only 7% of churches left that still believe in the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Hello, we're one of those 7%. And so we've settled that. We're going to follow God's Word. And when I say something that's wrong and doesn't fit, guess what? You don't follow what I say, you follow the Word of God. And that's who we are. Now, the society around you, that rubs against the current. But we're going to stand for truth. Now, we're not going to be ugly. You don't have to be ugly. I believe it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance, okay? So we don't have to be ugly or up in people's face and be rude and all that kind of stuff. But we are going to stand uncompromising on God's Word and speak truth in love. Good amen right there would be in order. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says this, "We also thank God continually because you received the word of God which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but actually as it is, the word of God which is at work in you who believe." That word "received" in the Greek is deklamai, which means you welcomed a stranger. So it means you saw somebody you didn't know and you said, "Hey, come on in. I don't know you. I don't understand all about you, but come on, you're welcome here. I want to get to know you." That's the word. So you have received the word and you've invited his word into your life. And so when you do that, there's a power that comes in and takes place in your life. So can I just say, you can't even go to the next step that we're going to talk about until you've come to that place where you've accepted and you believe God's word. Again, we here at Crosspoint believe the word of God. We believe in the closed canon of Scripture, that there is nothing to be added or taken away from it, and it stands supreme. That everything comes out of this church comes from the fact that we stand on the authority of God's word and the correction of God's word. And so we have to make a decision that we're going to stand and live our life based on God's word. Everybody good? Breathe in, breathe out. All right. I must accept its authority. Number two, I must assimilate its truth. I got some points I want to give you on this. I must assimilate his truth. Assimilate means I'm going to work it into all the areas of my life, not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a thing where I have my quiet time in the morning and it's just kumbaya, okay, I'm on my way. Some of you have too much quiet time. It's like too quiet, you know, falling asleep. Okay, kumbaya, okay, I did that, checked it off, I'm on my way. No, but where this thing really comes alive. So I'm going to work this into my marriage. I'm going to apply this to my finances, right? I'm going to get into small groups and work this thing out because it's God's plan in my life and it works. I'm telling you. His word works when we apply it into all areas of our life. So assimilate it into our life. How do we do that? Number one, by listening to God's word. Listening. We need to have a strategic plan for listening to God's word. One of the strategic plans is to come to church on Sunday. That's a strategic plan. Right? Look, I'm not trying to build a church. I'm trying to build you, okay? And I'm just telling you, growth happens with consistency. I heard one pastor say that somebody came up to him and said, "I am so glad I came to church today." And he looked up and said, "What? Did you not plan on coming to church?" It's well, no, we were just sitting around and said, "Hey, why don't we go to church today?" He said, "I'm telling you, you need to have a plan of consistently going to church." Now, I'm not trying to put my standard off on you, but I ain't missing church. You'll say, "Well, that's easy. You're the pastor." I'm telling you, before I was pastoring, I ain't missing church. It was never a question in my house. "Are we going to church today?" "No, that's just what we do." "Do you get up on Monday and say, 'Dear, are you going to work today or not?'" "I don't know. I don't feel like going to work today." If I felt that way, I'd never work. I'd never go to work. You know, some of you know me know it's true. So, but I'm telling you, it needs to be just, I've got to get God's word. I got to be around other people. We're going to worship Jesus. We're going to celebrate God's word together. It's a priority in my life. So you need to have a strategic plan of listening to God's voice and hearing his word. Get it on your schedule. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Hearing by the word of God. So we've got to get into God's house and hear the word of God. There's the story of the parable of the sower, the seed and the sower. You know that. In that, this is what is said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. "Therefore, consider how carefully how you will listen." So be consistent. Be faithful. Your life will grow. Your faith will grow. Your understanding will grow. Your relationship with God will grow when you do that. Here's another way to assimilate its truth: by reading God's word. And I would say, read it like a meal. Don't just read it for information. Read it like a meal. Partake of it. In Matthew 4 and 4, Jesus, he said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." The word is described as the bread of life. And so, eat of it. every day, gaining from its nutrients. And let me just give you some practical stuff that's not in your on your notes there. But one of these practical notes is, and write some of this down, get a paper Bible. Now, I may sound a little old-fashioned here, and I didn't really until recently understand that there was much difference. There's digital things that we have and Bible apps and all that, and that's good, and I've got those. I use those. But I've discovered some information that they say that we retain more when it's on paper, when it's when we're studying it off of paper. There's studies that show that. That, for one thing, we get distracted on the app. Sometimes we see advertisements and we're over here, you know, or we want to get on our phone. Now we want to go, now let's go check Twitter real quick and let's go here and there, Facebook. So on here, it pulls you in. It also, they say, there's a thing about retention, that you retain more when you read this. And that when you can hold it in your hand, and there's something about when you're reading a book that you can see how much you've already covered and how much you got to go, and you just kind of got that banked, and it just kind of, it helps you. And also, a Bible app can be anybody's Bible app, right? But your Bible is your Bible. And so when you got your Bible and you mark in it and you highlight in it and you write notes in it, and you can find it in your Bible. You may not be able to know where it is on a Bible app, but you're going to find it in your Bible. I know where it is in my Bible. It's on page 454, upper right-hand corner. It's on that page. I know where it is. I can see it on that page. So that's just some practical stuff, y'all. I told you we're going to make it practical. Get a paper Bible and do that. Another thing, write this down, is set aside a time. So make an appointment. Dignify that time. Elevate the importance of that. Have a set time. Jesus had a set time. He had a rhythm of going from private life to public life. He would pull aside. He had time. Take and set aside a time. Make an appointment. Keep it. Another thing is have a plan. Have a plan. Don't just read randomly, but have a plan. It's good to get a verse of the day. I usually start there with a Bible app. I'll get the verse of the day. In fact, yesterday's was about the Word of God. And I said, that's good. I'm preaching on that tomorrow. But then go from there. And then just take that plan. There's many plans on the Bible app, though, that you can reference and then get that and you pull your Bible and then start reading from there, or however you want to do that. But get a plan. You get the one-year plan. There are plans out there that will give you some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. And that's good to have, because there are four chapters on just begats in the Bible. And when you get those, you need a psalm to go along with that. And when you're in Leviticus and you're reading about all the infectious skin disease, you thank God for some proverbs, okay? So get some kind of plan. There's plans where you can go through the Gospels in a month, or there's 31 proverbs. Take a proverb a day, but have a plan, have a discipline, have a plan. Another one is this: don't just read the Bible, but let the Bible read you. The Bible is like a mirror. So we read it and we say, Holy Spirit, help me to hear what you're saying. God, what are you trying to say to me through this? Teach me, O Lord, right? So we're praying, what are you saying to me? So we need to not just look and see ourselves and then leave, but we need to be following God's word. Let the Bible read you. Let me give you another one, and that's by exploring God's word. By exploring God's word, okay? Not only assimilate it, but now explore God's word. I'm sorry, that's under simulation, just to keep you straight here. By exploring God's word. The Bible is extremely important. We explore. That's why we have small groups. Oh, my goodness. I can't do that, can I? If I just promote the ones I've been to, then I leave somebody out. But somebody was asking me about the Tuesday evening small group at Panera Bread at 7 o'clock, all right, over here on 29. Somebody was asking me, is that just men? And I didn't know the answer. And so for those of you that I didn't get back to, the answer is no, it's for everybody. So I encourage you in that. And we had a great study, and it was about the Word of God. Jeremy's brother wrote a book along with Norman Geisler on 101 questions from the Bible, and it is phenomenal. And the first one was, what is truth? I'm thinking, this is right in line with the message series. What is truth? Phenomenal discussion we had. Encourage you, get in and start exploring God's Word. Let me show you what happens. In Psalm 119, it says this, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now look, when we explore His Word and we get it inside of us, look what happens. Sin goes. Sin leaves when we do that. When we begin to listen, explore, we get into small groups, there's a miracle that happens. My dad used to say this, reading your Bible will keep you from sinning, and sinning will keep you from reading your Bible. You like that? I'm telling you, when you do this, when you make this decision, go after the spiritual, it's going to be the best year of your life. Number three, get this, I must apply its principles. I must apply it. So I'm going to use this in every part of my life. Let me give you this verse. In James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So we're not just coming to church, okay, I've checked the box. I did that, got that off my list. No, we're going to follow God's word. We're going to do what it says. And I tell you, in your life, you can find a verse in every situation of your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you can find a verse to apply it. And I encourage you to do that. Just find one verse at the beginning of the day to meditate on that. I'll tell you this story as we bring this to a close. A few years back, I'd never had this happen to me before, but I was robbed. Our house, our home was robbed. We went away on vacation and someone broke in and robbed us. And it was devastating to me. We felt violated, shaken. Have you ever had that sense of security is gone? And I remember thinking, having these thoughts afterwards, I don't know if I could sleep here at night because they got in so easy, they could get in here again. In fact, our back window, there was some dust on the window. We didn't see it till some lights were turned off and some other lights were on the outside and it shone through. But this guy tried to slide our window up and had these long fingerprints. And I'm looking at that window. I could see those long fingerprints, kind of like the long hand of Satan or something. You know, I'm like, what is it? I was just disturbed and shaken. I remember having these thoughts. I thought to myself, I'm going to install bulletproof glass. I'm going to bolt all my doors and windows. I'm going to put up a big fence, you know, with some bad boy razor wire around the top of that thing. And then I said, I'm going to get me a Doberman or a German Shepherd or maybe both. You know, they're going to ride by the preacher's house and they're going to say, there's the preacher who trusts God right there. It's the preacher on that fortification thing there. And the Lord began to show me that it's not those things that keep us safe. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having some security, but it's His Word. The Bible says, the righteous will run into Him and they're safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous will run into Him and they're safe. And then when I took the verse that me and Kim have been very dear to our heart our whole life, and that's Psalm 91, I put it over the door inside our house. You know, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Sorry for the King James Version. That's my DNA, okay? And I'm deciding that's what we need to have is the Word of God over our life. God will watch over His Word to perform it in your life. And so I've declared my trust is in the Lord. I can prove it because a few weeks ago, I didn't get the Doberman. I got a poodle dog, all right? So just saying. But whatever your situation is, It may be healing that you need. It may be a financial miracle that you need. I've known a guy who had a terminal disease, and he didn't know what else to do, and he just, I know this sounds disrespectful, his mother thought he was crazy. He went into his room, and he cut out verses from the Bible. Anything to do with healing, anything that he needed to do to apply to himself, and he had them posted, stuck all over his room, looked like wallpaper all over his room, tore up his Bible, just put, because he wanted to see it. Can I tell you, God healed him. I know that sounds, well, that's crazy, Pastor. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I am saying that you need to apply God's word into your life and whatever situation you're in. God's word works. I'm telling you, it's powerful. In fact, when Jesus was tempted during that time of fasting, it was the enemy that came up to him, and even the enemy tried to distort and use God's word against the word. But Jesus would always return and say, "It is written." He didn't say, "Well, I just don't feel that way." No, he said, "It is written." That was the authority. Can I just speak to you and say, whatever you're going through, God has authority. He has a word for you. He has a plan for your life. He has a way out for you. I'm telling you, he wants to give you a future and a hope. You say, "Well, I don't think this works for me because my past." Can I tell you, God came not to bring up your past, but he came to settle your past so you could have a future in Jesus' name. And he sent his word so that you could have that path, so that you could have that path to freedom, so that you could have a new life. He sent his word so that you could have a new beginning. Would you do me a favor? Would you just bow your heads with me right now? Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for speaking into our lives your truths from your word. And now I just pray you would help us to apply it. Help us to listen. Help us to meditate. Help us to know you through your word. Help us to live it out, and God, see our lives change. Lord, come, bring your words of life to us. Words of liberty, words of freedom, words of healing. Thank you, Lord, for your word that declares, "I sent my word and healed their diseases." Oh, thank you, God, for your word that comes and sets us free from all the past. Now, God, give us a determination. Help us to make up our mind, God, that we're going to live every day in your word. Before we check the weather, before we check the email, God, we're going to your word. We're putting you first in our life because you're the foundation of our life. Well, God, help us to follow you fully in Jesus' name. My heads are still bowed. You're here today, and you know that you are not in the right relationship with God that you need to be. Perhaps you have been in relationship with him, but you're not where you need to be. Or maybe you have never really fully made that decision for Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to do what we said, which is just accept him, accept his word, accept his plan for your life, accept his will for your life. Accept what he did on Calvary when he died for your sins so that he could settle your past and give you a great future. If you're here today and you say, "That's me, I know I'm not where I need to be, but I'm ready today to make a decision for Christ and accept him into my life and receive his word in me and be changed," I want to help lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you, but I just want to lead you in a prayer where you are. But if that's you and you're here, I want you to have the boldness to say, "That's me," and simply do that by just lifting up a hand, and you can put that hand right back down. But if that's you today, say, "Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in?" Very quickly, would you just slip up a hand, and you can put that hand right back down. I just want to lead us in a prayer. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you today. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. And if you're watching online, I encourage you, if that's you, you're at a place where you need to make this decision and pray this prayer, I encourage you to pray along with us today. Join us in this prayer. And for support, I'd like everybody here to pray this prayer out loud for those that need to pray it so they can have privacy. This is a private moment. There's a place for a public moment. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But right now, between you and the Lord, I'm just going to help you with the words, but you just pray this and mean it. Just pray this. Just say, "Lord Jesus, today, I thank you for paying for my past. I thank you for purchasing for me a new future. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Today I accept that you have made payment for me in full, paying for my debt, a debt I could never pay on my own. Thank you, Jesus. By faith, I accept you into my life. I accept you as the Lord of my life. I declare you to be my Savior now. I give you my life. Come live inside of me. Make me brand new. And with all of my heart, I will follow you all the days of my life. Lord, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer and needed to pray it. God, I celebrate with them the best decision of their life. God, and I pray your blessings upon them, that they will walk in the light that you shine in their path, the light of your word, that day by day they will grow. They will come to know you more and more. Cause us as a church, Lord, to be a light on this hill. Lord, to be a light in the midst of a dark world, that we may be able to see people come to the light which will illuminate their life and cause them, Lord, to come to the light of life, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to make a difference. Lord, now let our light shine bright that they may see our good works but glorify you in heaven. We'll give you all the credit, all the glory, all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.